Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code Burt at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/Burt. Enter the code Burt, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
The Burt Show.
We realized this morning that our social media director doesn't check her social media every hour. Kristen has been sitting in here trying to be patient all morning long.
And I have zero patience, which my son has gotten from his mama.
That's because we have a social media producer named Rebecca, who I trust implicitly with our social media so that I can do other things. Yes, is my answer. Kristen posted the cutest Instagram photo over 2 hours ago, which I only checked because I walked to the bathroom and I was like, that's the social media break I'm taking for myself. And I saw a collaboration request and I'm like, what is this? And if you're familiar with the account Dude With Sign, where he'll just hold up signs of stuff like basic stuff like he wants people to stop doing. Like, stop using It's Giving or whatever. So she photoshopped over it. Cassie, will you go to the Gracies with me? And then is it Dudette with sign is the other one? Mm-hmm. And she's holding a sign and it says check yes or no. And it was so cute.
That's like, so you're going out to LA.
It's gonna be like the old days when KK and Cass took over LA. We haven't been in a while.
It's been a while. And this is like an awards for women in media, and Cassie was the one that took all the time and effort to nominate me and put the audio together, and she wrote like just this most beautiful, beautiful message to the Alliance of Women in Media. And I was, of course, once we found out that I actually freaking won a Gracie, which is still sinking in, I'm like, I got to have my radio lady partner in crime there with me to accept.
She's going to need you there for support because most people will boo her when she walks up.
No, they won't. I'm going to be throwing punches.
No, instead of saying boo, they'll be like, who?
All right, Mo, so what is going on now, man? I see you hobbling around the office again today.
Yeah, man, I'm having this bout with gout, and I'm losing. It is really taking over my life.
It's your second round.
It's my second round. Yeah, so for those who may have missed it, a couple of weeks ago, I woke up randomly, and I had this excruciating pain in my left foot, and that's when it all started. And I have a pretty high tolerance for pain, so I knew the way that it was hurting me that something was wrong. And immediately, when I was just describing it one day when we were on air, I started getting message after message after message of people saying, it's gout.
I was still shocked you made it into the show that day, because Bert was out, and you... I mean, I don't know how deep you had to dig, but I could tell looking at you, you were in so much pain.
It was deep. It was very, very deep. But I wanted to make it because, like you said, Bert was out. So I did. And then that day, I ended up going to urgent care. And they're like, yo, this is gout. Like, we are pretty sure. I go to my doctor after that. They say it's gout. My best friend told me your life is going to change. I didn't want to receive that information, but he was not lying. So I end up going on a vacation, which I went to relax, so I don't think that was a bad idea.
You even chose a place where you're like, there's just not a lot to do. I can sit on a beach. I'll be in a beach chair. I'm not walking around on this thing.
Right, and that was 90% of the vacation. Then there was the day I tried to teach myself how to surf, and I don't think that was a good idea. That probably wasn't the best idea.
The one thing you did.
Yes.
The one thing was trying surfing.
Was trying to surf. Okay. And at that point, I think the pain was gone, right? Because it's like 2 or 3 days where you can barely walk. It is excruciating pain. But then it starts to fade away, and I thought I was fine. And I move on. I'm thinking, okay, now I have to stay away from seafood, beer, and stress. I can do that. The seafood will be the hardest part, but not a problem. I won't have any more flare-ups. I should be good to go. Everybody is sending me all of these different things that they do, cherry tart juice and so on and so forth. So I'm just kind of taking on everybody's recommendations and trying to find out what works for me. So 2 weeks go by. I think I'm in the clear. Think I'm safe. And I think this is like Wednesday night. I'm going to bed and my knee, I start to feel like a pain in my knee. But I started going to the gym again, and I'm thinking to myself, I probably tweaked my knee, not a big deal. But through the night, it starts to be reminiscent of when my foot was hurting. I'm waking up in the middle of the night because the pain just keeps getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And then I wake up on Thursday, and I can barely walk again. And this time, it's not because of my foot, it's my knee. So I text my dude, and I'm like, is this something you experienced? And he was like, absolutely, that's gout. And I'm like, in my knee now? It attacks any joint. And if it's in the same leg and it kind of feels like it's attached to that foot and it's the same kind of pain, it's probably gout. You're having another flare up just in a different joint. So I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So I, of course, as life would have it, I limp over to work. And of all days, the elevator's not working.
Oh my God.
You
got to
walk a day.
Are you serious?
I'm so serious. Because I take the back elevator because it's easy. It's closer. So I limp all the way over there. I look up. The elevator is out of service. I'm like, there's no way, man. Like, there's just no way. Somebody is messing with me. So I try to go up the stairs because technically you can take the stairs to get to the front of the building quicker than you can walk around. I can't go up the stairs because I can't put that much pressure on one of my legs to go up the stairs.
Oh, no.
So I got to limp around the whole building now. And then I limp around. I get to the building. I get to the elevator. I'm trying to get here. And then three people are waving at me to wait for the elevator. I'm like, all right, man, this is just how my morning is going. So I limp in here thinking, all right, I'll be fine, I'll get through it. And I did. And then my knee starts to get worse and worse. And I wake up Saturday morning. I'm supposed to go do things with my friends. I'm supposed to have an interview lined up. I can't walk. Once again, the gout is like taking over. And I give it a couple of days of rest. And now the pain today is finally starting to go back down. And I'm getting back to normal. But I really have to figure out what is causing my flare-ups because I cannot keep going through this.
All right, so let's take a look at this checklist again. And I think I mentioned this the first time you talked about it. I think you are underplaying the stress part of this whole thing. Okay, drinking, you know, that's an easy one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, seafood, easy one. What's the game plan as far as the stress goes? Because that's not just the gout we're talking about. You're having some other problems also, and those could be stress-related.
Right. I'm trying to see it as a positive in all sincerity because I have a tendency to take everything on and to just blame myself, beat myself up, try to be perfect, and I think dealing with that on top of just all of the natural things that were happening around me, I think it was just too much. I was putting too much on myself, and the stress started to really get to me. And so at that point, I'm like, okay, this overthinking, this beating myself up, this taking everything on and not letting things go has gotten to the point where it's affecting my health. So it has to stop. Before it was like, I should stop. Mm-hmm. Now it's a must.
Is there something you could point to over the last 2 weeks since you said, okay, I'm going to stop taking on this stress and trying to be perfect? Is there something you could point to go, okay, that was a win right there. That's what I'm trying to achieve.
Yeah, actually. It's been a couple of times where, for example, the elevator being broke.
Mm-hmm.
That's a moment where I would have got sincere. I would have got frustrated. I would have been so mad. Like, why is life only happening to me? It's unfair. But it's now I'm learning to take everything in stride. These things happen to everybody. You win some, you lose some kind of a thing. And I think I'm just learning to really take it all with stride and learn to just laugh at things sometimes. Sometimes it's a moment where you really might allow yourself to get stressed because it feels like everything is hitting you at once. And I'm just learning how to laugh now. But the hardest part of trying not to stress because of gout is not stressing due to gout. Because
right.
The gout is what's stressing me out to bring back the gout.
Yeah.
Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code Burt at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/Burt. Enter the code Burt, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
It's a vicious circle you got going on, friend.
The Burt Show.
All right, Olivia is on hold, and she's going to give us the update from Texting Tutor on Friday when we texted her friends with benefits to say, hey, We want more than just this. You open to it. And he seemed like he was open to it. So let's find out how it went over the weekend in a second. Mo, I need you to tell me again what the show is that you started watching that you love so much.
Great American Family?
That was it.
Uh-huh.
What was it about again?
It was about a family who was looking to adopt, and they adopted and what they believed, allegedly, an 8-year-old who struggled with a rare form of dwarfism. But then it was also some allegations that she may have not been actually 8 years old. She was older, and then you really don't know her age, and I'm still in the middle of it, so I don't know what happens.
Is it Netflix?
It is Hulu.
Hulu. Okay. I finished The White Lotus last night.
Ooh.
I have never seen a television show wrap up so many storylines in 15 minutes.
It was a lot longer than that.
Well, I felt like the actual, like...
Well, the vacation was coming to an end. They had to wrap it up. It was the last day of vacay.
It was quick, and I did not see any of that coming.
Yeah.
Did you see any of that coming?
I had a sneaking suspicion about... one storyline, yes. But as far as the three girls, did not know where they were going. I was pleasantly surprised by that. And then the family, I had no idea how the husband, wife, and three kids, I had no idea how that was going to wrap up.
I was more relieved that the brothers just talked about it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They just talked about the yacht than anything else on that show. All right, so texting tutor from Friday. Good morning, Olivia.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. All right. So we helped you on Friday text your friends with benefits to see if it was time to take something up to the next level. There was some weirdness here also because he had messed around with your older sister in the past too, right?
Yep. That's right. So y'all helped me and I kind of sent him, you know, some flirty texts telling him what I wanted to talk about because we had plans to get together Friday night. So thank you for helping me figure out all that. And, you know, our convo, like yours and mine, was really the push I needed just to get the courage because we actually did have the talk Friday night.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was good. I went over to his place and, you know, we knew what was coming because of the text back and forth. And we just sat on this couch with nothing, like no electronics, no TV, no phones, no distractions.
Whoa, what? This is serious.
Mm-hmm. They really need
like him. Friends with benefits. You know, we were just nervous. And he lit a candle, which he's like, this is not on purpose, but I think it was. I think it was ambiance. But yeah, I just told him I couldn't keep doing friends with benefits. And that it just wasn't casual for me anymore. And he smiled and it was just like a sweet moment. And he just said he felt the same way too for a while.
Great.
But he didn't want to pressure me or make things messy, especially because of the sister situation, which I'm so glad he brought up, by the way. Or I'm glad I brought it up rather, because then he brought it up in person and like, I don't know. It just, clearing the air about that, at least between us, felt right. And he just said, you know, I want to actually give it a shot. So we're official.
Oh, you shot your shot and it went in.
Yeah. It's like best case scenario right here.
All right. So let's talk about the immediate future here.
Mm-hmm.
When do you talk to your sister about this?
Well, that's the hard part. I mean, this is my sister who, it was very short and casual between them, but I know she's going to flip out. And, you know, we're close. Like, I don't want her to feel betrayed and, you know, nothing happened behind her back, of course. But, like, I just can't keep it a secret now that it's real. Like, she's my sister. Mm-hmm. We're very close. I think I need help now figuring out, like, how do I tell her? What's the right mix of, like, honest and direct, but, like, soft and kind and please don't murder me, you know?
All right, so I think we defer to the Burt Show members that are women who have sisters. So if Rebecca can grab a mic in there, Cassie, so... you are the older sister, but let's just say, so you have a sister, she comes to you and tells you, a guy you hooked up with years ago, we're forging a relationship. How does that conversation go and how do you receive that message?
I think I'm a weirdo in this scenario. She would probably be very hesitant. She probably wouldn't tell me until like it had been going on for a year. And then I would be like, that's cool. Awesome. It doesn't bother me. If it was a nasty breakup and I still like was either emotionally screwed over by that guy or I had feelings about it, then I would be like, man, I'm not really cool with that. But if we just like dated and went separate ways, I can genuinely tell you I would not care.
All right, Rebecca, you have two sisters, same situation. How do you think this would be received?
Well, first I would say him. Because my history is not very cute. But I think I would be similar to Cassie. I would give my blessing. It's kind of cool. That sounds weird, but it is almost like kind of cute almost to like have.
Is it to have your sister date a guy that you used to have relations with?
You could. Are you kidding me? The fodder you would have for the rest of your life about her getting your sloppy seconds?
Exactly. Yeah.
I wasn't going to. I'm glad you brought this up.
I don't think it's cute. I'm going to interrupt.
Yeah. Okay, cute was the wrong word. It's funny. It's funny and silly.
Yeah, I wanted to bring this up because it was in the back of my mind also, but I was going to let one of you guys do it. I'm glad you did.
You're welcome.
So, Olivia, that it doesn't. Like, not weird you out, but just a little weird that he's been there and now he's going to be here.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Yeah.
Not weird enough, apparently. Yeah. But the heart can't help what the heart wants, yeah. Bert. I don't know if it's the heart that wants something right now.
Two things can be true.
As long as you're cool with it, it doesn't much matter. I think handling it with brutal honesty with her, it sounds like it was just a couple of months. Like, she's not like, she wasn't in love with this guy. There wasn't real loss there. I think she's supposed to be like, big deal.
Yeah, and that's not the, you have expressed, Olivia, that this wasn't a serious relationship. This wasn't a boyfriend, wasn't a fiance. It was a fling. It was like a summer fling. However, there was intimacy, and I would just be, if I were her, be like, wow, I did them, and now you're doing them. That's weird.
I hit her up and ask for tips and tricks, and then definitely make sure this guy knows that your mom is off limits.
Some sisterly advice right there.
Yeah, this is where it stops. Don't try to run through more of the family than this.
All right, here is Bree, who wants to be on The Voice Disguiser. Good morning, Bree. You have some advice. What is going on?
Good morning. I've actually experienced this firsthand. My grandmother and my grandfather actually met on a double date when my grandfather was originally going out with her sister. So they ended up getting married and having my mom. And it's never been awkward. So.
Oh, there's hope. All right. They were freaky back in the day as well.
Again.
Freaky didn't just start yesterday.
Some things never change.
Okay. Yeah, I think our advice is just come clean with her and it's not going to be a huge deal. But we could be wrong.
Does she do that? That's a one-on-one combo in person, correct?
No, we should text it.
Facebook Messenger.
Sooner than later, better, or later than sooner?
Well, now that they're official, yeah, you got to.
Yeah. Talk to her as soon as you can, okay?
And just send her a thoughtful GIF.
Hello?
Yeah.
All right.
The Bert Show.
So if you didn't hear on the news this morning, the Pope passed away overnight. We were all kind of shocked this morning.
Yeah, Abby was the one that broke the news. Like, it literally happened this morning, like around 6 o'clock or something like that.
Hard-hitting journalist Abby Murphy coming to you with the big Pope news.
I was telling these guys off air that my son's supposed to be in Rome in the middle of May. So I wonder if he's going to be there while they are picking the new Pope.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that process is like or how long it takes usually, but he's going there in the middle of May. That'd be unbelievable for him. He's going to Rome with his class. It's a senior field trip. He goes to a private Catholic school, so they're all going together. Can you imagine, I mean, what that's going to be like for all of them?
That's awesome, man.
My
senior trip, we went to Cancun.
Y'all had a senior trip?
We did.
A little different.
Yeah, a little different.
So I feel bad because the past couple of breaks, I feel like I've just been raking my parents over the coals, and this break might make my parents feel some type of way. But Bert and I differ from everyone else in the studio in the sense that we read our DMs reluctantly sometimes. And after a break I did a couple of weeks ago, right before we went on vacation, it was Plead the Fifth, and y'all really came at me swinging with some questions that you can say I asked for. I don't know if I necessarily asked for people to question why my parents loved my brother more. The wording seemed a little pointed.
You challenge. This is on you. You got what you asked for. You can't come down on them for the question.
You called the listeners not
question stupid.
Yeah. You literally said, come after me.
I didn't say come after me. I'm just thinking about it.
You literally said, you come after me.
It was facetious, Bert. Come after me is more of a term, a phrase, rather than like actual come at me.
Sound like backpedaling. No?
And I was just, listen, I was trying to super serve the listeners. I mean, how many times can I rank the youth group from favorite to least favorite? I give you the same answer every week. I'm just thinking about those ratings tanking. And I'm like, let's give them something good.
I love how you say you're super serving listeners, but these were literally questions the listeners asked and what they wanted to know.
Well, they should start listening to the segments because I've answered those questions before. They just phrase it a little differently.
I want you to put this uncomfortable thing on the listeners. When you said, hey, make it uncomfortable for me.
Well, they made it uncomfortable in my DMs as well. It didn't just stop on air. So during our Plead the Fifth segment, which is a segment where you guys try to come after me, and then when you don't come after me, I ask you to come after me, and then I get questions like, why did your parents love your brother more? And I have to answer why my parents love my brother more, which is really fun to talk about on air. So after that segment, I was surprised at how much it struck a chord with a lot of the parents that were listening. I think I expected to read a lot of DMs from second favorite children being like, oh yeah, I felt the same way growing up. And I got a lot of DMs from parents, which I'm very grateful for. I love the rapport that I have with people in my DMs. So I really hope that you don't take this as like I'm coming down on you, but I do want to be honest about how it struck a chord with me, even if there were positive feelings associated with the relationship between DMing with you as well. But I got a lot of DMs from parents that were like, yeah, I noticed that I favor one child over the other, and I'm so appreciative that you talked about your experience because I don't want to have that effect on my child.
I think you nailed it when you said you were he was the easier child.
He was the easier child. I can admit to that, and it's tough because you feel like it's your fault, you know, growing up, but I was a kid. Like, I was a child. You know what I mean? Like, how are you supposed to come down on yourself when this is your first time living, your first time existing, but you also have to give your parents grace in the sense that, like, this is their first time being a parent too. Like, this is their first rodeo as well. But when I was getting all those DMs, and I got quite a few, I probably got at least 10 or 11
really
from parents that admitted to me, and I'm so grateful for you feeling comfortable enough to share that with me and reflect on that. But I got a lot of DMs where they said, I have one child that I know that I don't speak highly of frequently, or I just have a harder time parenting them because they are more difficult. And they said that what I vocalized was what they are trying to avoid. So these are really, really self-aware parents. But admittedly, when I was reading them, as grateful as I was for the experience that they felt comfortable being vulnerable with me, there was a part of me that was like, oh my God, like, it sucked seeing it in writing that that's something that parents actually experience, that even though I know my parents love me equally, it is frustrating to know that that is an experience that people actually feel, that they have that favoritism, even if they're not going to admit it publicly to other people.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe they're just going to admit it to people privately in their DMs, that you have children that you like more, you like less. And then it's not just in my head. I think that was a weird thing to experience on paper.
Well, you're a friend, Domino. I mean, jokingly, but not jokingly. From a standpoint of a parent, granted, I have an only child, so I can't do it from that. But from having a sibling, I feel like, yeah, your parents love you equally, but like you more or less depending on the day and what's going on. And you said Domino used to say that and used to tell his girls the rankings, be like, all right, this one's in the lead this week because she did X, Y, Z. You need to pick up the slack.
Yeah, he came on and talked about it. Yeah,
he did.
He's like, hey, don't get all bummed out. I mean, you could be in first next week. But this week, you're in second place right now.
Oh, I think that's a little bit different than maybe what I experienced and what these parents are experiencing, where to me, it wasn't like a week-to-week thing. Like, my brother was the favorite this week or I was the favorite the next week. Like, I was pretty consistently always the least favorite. Do you know what I mean? I think that's a little bit different than kind of being like, well, you got an A+ on your spelling test and you were really good at your recital and you were very well behaved at that dinner, rather than kind of constantly feeling like you're the second favorite.
Yeah, and as a parent, and I know I've explored this from both sides also. And like you said, our parents, it's the first time they're doing it. They're doing the best they can. But the ramifications of that also will hurt us later on in life when, if we feel like we're not good enough when we're younger, we will feel like we are not good enough when we are older.
Yeah. And it's an interesting thing to dive deep into that, because I think that really built a lot of the framework of how I live my life and probably why I got into this career field, like searching for exterior validation and respect from other people. Like if you don't feel like you're getting that inside the house or even with your peers, then you're going to go to social media or you're going to go to the radio to try and fill that void somehow.
I mean, something I talked about on the radio a long time ago. I do feel your pain to it a certain extent. My brother was the golden child. I mean, he's the Marine. He's the first responder. He got married first, had grandchildren first. Like it was, and it was a whole thing growing up too. And something I saw a psychologist was talking to a guy talking about how his sister's relationship was more complicated than his relationship with his parents. He's like, I find it so weird because we were both raised by the same people. And the psychologist stopped and he's like, no, you weren't. Like, you know, if she was the first, she got a different set of parents than when you came around because they have experience. Mm-hmm. And you're getting them in different seasons of life. You're getting them in different seasons of their relationship. One might be coming in when you're financially struggling. Another might come in after they have, you know, been more financially established. So if you think you're being raised by the same parents, mm-hmm. you are not. Like siblings get different versions of their parents. Now, my question for you, I have an acquaintance and it is, from my observations, painfully obvious she has a favorite by the way she speaks to one child compared to the way she speaks to another. Is this something where you just have to bite your tongue or do you say something?
Close friend?
No, it's not a close friend.
I wouldn't say anything. I would leave that.
I'm just looking at one kid and being like, man, you're going to need so much friggin' therapy.
I mean, I can relate in the sense that I was raised with two younger sisters, and I certainly believe that I was the child that was raised the hardest, and they were the hardest on me. I think a part of that is because I was the oldest, the only boy. I think it was a little different, but I always saw it as like positive because I feel like it's why I'm so driven and so ambitious, because you were looking to get what you didn't feel like you got and your siblings did. And that's the only way I looked at it until I went to therapy and learned there was a lot of trauma behind it too.
I am so incredibly happy that my parents disliked us all equally.
The Burt Show.
Buzz on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment bus.
Man, that's a valid point though, man.
Thank you, parents.
Yeah.
If she had a relationship with one of your brothers and not you, I think that would have hurt way more.
Oh my gosh. She didn't want to do it, and none of us.
So y'all did have the same parent.
She kept never that same changed. Energy, baby.
You know, so let's give her some credit for being consistent.
All right, let's gossip about something more fun than my childhood trauma. And I want to talk about something I saw on Dumois the other day, which if you don't know what Dumois is, it's like this anonymous celebrity gossip social media site and also podcast, I think she has as well. And they put out this prompt asking for their followers to talk about their experiences kissing different celebrities. Which celebrities are good kissers and which celebrities are bad kissers? Now, I want to know before we even get started, are there any celebrities that you think you feel confident they're either incredible kissers or really bad kissers?
What's the dude's name from that? I always get his first name wrong. Brody, his first name?
Brody Jenner?
No. His last name.
Adam Brody.
You can't kiss like that on camera if you don't know what you're doing in real life.
Oh, his wife even fessed up to that. She was like, y'all thought that was good? I'm getting the better stuff behind the scenes.
Yeah, I'm assuming he knows what he's doing.
I think Ryan Gosling's a really good kisser.
With all that lip filler, he's got to be.
Well, that's recent. he's starting to look a little different these days.
I feel like there's no way Michael B. Jordan could be a bad kisser. You can't have a face like that and not know how to use those lips.
That's how I feel about Beyonce. I'm confident she's a good kisser.
Yeah, even if it's bad. You're still looking at Beyonce. Be
she seems disinterested to me, though.
Until she is. See, that's Virgo energy. Freak out when you like somebody.
This is such a cliche. But she's too good looking. Didn't have to try. Didn't have to try in that area.
Yeah, I think so. I can see that too.
I don't know. Have you heard Partition? Like, that's a sexy
song. That's what I'm saying. You got to pull it out of her. That's all.
All right. Well, Dumois asked its followers, and here's what they said. Here's the good and here's the bad. We'll start out with the good. So, Paul Mescal, that sexy 5'8 Irish man that's in all those sad boy movies, they said, my cousin experienced Paul Mescal and said it was the best kiss she ever had. It was a nightclub 6 years ago. Huh. Lucien Le Vicount, he plays Alfie in Emily in Paris. Lucien Le Vicount is one of the best kissers ever.
Well, that last name, you have to be. Lucien is your name. Like, you have a name where if you don't kiss good, you're going to have to change your name.
Morgan Wallen.
Oh, no way. Yeah. Oh, no, no. Was it Kristen Cavallari that said that he was awesome?
Yeah.
Yeah, she said he was amazing in bed.
Well, apparently.
In bed's different than being a good kisser.
That's very
you can
different.
Be good in bed and a lousy kisser.
Absolutely.
Can you?
Yes.
Okay.
Morgan Wallen? Terrible.
Really?
Charles Melton from Riverdale? Hella good kisser. Jimmy Fallon? It just says good. I don't know who. Jimmy Fallon apparently follows Dumois. Channing Tatum? Great. Has good lips. Jack Quaid? Apparently good kisser. Rome Flynn is the worst kisser in the world.
Damn.
And then he commented on the photo. He said, give me another chance. I was just nervous.
Buddy's funny.
Buddy's funny. All right, here's your hard-hitting news for this e-buzz. So it's been a hot second since we talked about the Justin Baldoni and Blake Lively lawsuit. And it's because there hasn't been any new interesting updates. But I just saw that the TikTok sleuths have uncovered some more juicy drama that may uncover the reason why Justin Baldoni's ex-podcast host is no longer associated with him anymore is because she is now allegedly associated with I'm getting their names mixed up, Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively. And it has everything to do with both of their companies. So let me back up a little bit. Liz Plank did the podcast Man Enough with Justin Baldoni, where they would talk about like feminist issues and how men can have less toxic masculine behaviors. And then when all this drama came up surrounding It Ends With Us and Justin Baldoni, she was silent. She didn't come to the premiere. She didn't publicly support him in any way, which people thought was very suspicious because they work closely together. So we're going to backtrack to September, which is when all of this happened. A company called Van Zandt, allegedly run by Blake and Ryan, filed a shadow lawsuit back in September, right after all that bad press. So a shadow lawsuit is basically when you can file a lawsuit, but you don't have to name anybody. Van Zandt was founded in 2010 in Delaware and is allegedly run by Blake and Ryan. Delaware is important because apparently it allows for the most privacy protections when creating a business. So you don't have to say who is involved in the LLC or whatever.
Crazy.
So in 2010, that's when Blake and Ryan were allegedly hooking up when Ryan was still married to Scarlett Johansson. So the shadow lawsuit is what allowed for them to subpoena those text messages between Justin Baldoni and all of his PR people. We were like, how did they get those text messages? Apparently it was this shadow lawsuit. So then it was withdrawn the day before Blake's lawsuit went public, which makes it look even more shady. And here's where this all comes together. Liz Plank, his Justin Baldoni's ex-podcast co-host, who is now no longer associated with him, she started a production company in November of 2024 in the midst of when all this lawsuit stuff was happening behind the scene. She created a production company called Liz Plank Productions, which has the same address as Van Zandt LLC, which is allegedly run by Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds. Now, everyone's thinking that she probably got some money to give some information on Justin Baldoni. And it looks like because they have the same company address that they might be working in cahoots together. So that's your update.
Oh.
No one is as excited about this
no,
as me.
No, it's like, no, my wheels, I feel like I'm, yeah, my wheels are turning and I'm seeing like all the numbers flash before me and everything.
They ain't come together yet?
No, not yet.
Okay, I'll give you 10 minutes. For more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code BERT at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/BERT. Enter the code BERT, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
hang out for just a second here, Mikey, is Mo tries to get him out of a very uncomfortable situation that happened to him recently. So I was just mentioning to these guys in studio, what a bizarre couple, if it's true. Elizabeth Hurley and Billy Ray Cyrus making out this weekend?
Nonsensical. Makes no sense to me whatsoever.
He's just, he looks like a, I don't know, magician.
But not the good kind,
like
no.
like a kid's magician that would show.
No. He reminds me of the magician we had at TGI Fridays back in the
day. Yeah.
You said you met him before and he was a really bizarre dude?
He's very nice, but just odd. Like, I can't really, like, put my finger on it, but he's just a weird fella.
Just look like he do balloon art at any moment?
No, it's not even that, man. It's like you're talking to him and like
he's giving balloon artist.
He gets really like philosophical, but he's just, it's like this amalgamation of quirky and weird and Hollywood. And it's just, he's an odd dude, man. He is an odd, odd dude.
He looks like he should be opening up for David Blaine to me. Like the magician, the dude that rips his own heart out.
Yeah, no.
Just a bizarre seeing them, the two together. I'm just like, it doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Well, also knowing who she's dated in the past, not that you're supposed to have a type, but like Hugh Grant, Billy Ray Cyrus.
Yeah, right.
I barely know who we're talking about.
Yeah, it's okay.
I'm with you.
All right, Mikey, so you had yourself a little bit of an uncomfortable situation, and clearly Mo is the only one that can get you out of it.
I think he might be the only one. I need some handshake help, Mo. Can you help me out?
I got you.
How many times have we done this?
A lot.
You and really? I tried this time and time again, man. This happened even way back on the show when Carl was in here. Our producer, Carl, he tried helping me out with this because I used to mess it up. It happens all the time.
Yeah, so I work for the station in the promotions department. Part of that job is sometimes I run these live broadcasts. So I was doing a live broadcast at this place called The Patio in Snellville, which I think it's a converted Golden Corral. They converted it into a cigar bar.
Oh, really?
Actually, a very cool place. But yeah, and fun time.
That's the one by the Chicago Pizza?
Yeah. Right next to that.
Yeah, I like that place.
Thing is, I'm the only white guy in there. And
that tracks.
Yeah. So I'm working with the DJs because they're going to be DJing live on air. And so I have to set up all this equipment and talk to the station, make sure we're like on the same page. There was problems happening at the station. So it starts at 7. We're at 6:50. I'd been there for an hour already. We're getting ready to start. They said it's not right over here. So it was nothing on our end, but we're just like, everyone's biting their nails. They're like, I mean, we got to get this thing going by 7. 6:59, we got it fixed. And then we all start doing handshakes to celebrate.
Yeah.
And that's where I ran into some problems.
Yeah, got a little awkward.
The way I see it, there's three handshakes.
Uh-huh.
You got the regular, how do you do?
The Caucasian handshake.
The Caucasian.
Hey, nice to meet you.
Yeah, you got the shoulder bump, right, where you like, kind of join hands, then you
bring it in.
Bring it in, yep. And then you pat them on the back. Not great at that one. What's the other one? It's just the slide.
The slide.
That thing. Yeah.
You got it, yeah. The fist bump is in there, too, so it's kind of full.
But by themselves, they're doable. It's when it gets a little bit more advanced for the Caucasian man.
Right.
Is when we start to get awkward and lose it.
Right.
Yeah.
So, the slide is easier. That's pretty much your hands come together, you grip each other, you let go. That's the slide. The one where it gets advanced is when you bring it in because it's a few more steps to that handshake, and that's when
tough.
It normally gets awkward.
That's tough.
Where I think it would get confusing is how do you know which one you're going to do?
Yeah.
That's my whole question here is, is there a presentation of the hand in a certain way where you already know? Because he'll go for a fist bump. I'm trying to do the Caucasian. It's like, that's where it gets really embarrassing.
Right.
Because I think I can make it through the handshake once we're engaged. But whenever they're going in for it, I melt. I get scared. I don't know what to do.
From the outside looking in as a white guy, it looks like it's a salsa dance with hands. With black people. They know the moves that white people don't know. And you guys, and black people can, black men, they can alter it in mid handshake instinctively.
Well, I made it impossible for them to alter. we were all in this embarrassing moment together.
You have to adjust in real time. Typically, when you're meeting somebody for the first time, you don't really know them like that. You either go with the traditional just handshake, or you'll go for the slide. You normally don't do all the steps with somebody you don't know or you're meeting for the first time.
What's your traditional handshake?
No, the same one as everyone.
Okay.
Like the literal just
hi, a hi.
What's up, bro? Nice to meet you.
Okay.
Yeah. But if you know them, or if it's a casual environment that's not really professional, typically you're going for the slide.
See, it was different, nice though, because it was an exciting moment. And that's whenever you can get complicated because you don't know what's coming.
Feelings are at peak and anything emotions are running high because everybody's excited.
Yeah.
Is it like when you're like ballroom dancing, somebody takes the lead and you just follow that person's lead?
Most of the time.
There's like an alpha handshaker?
Usually it's the older gentleman in this situation.
Oh.
You'll go with whatever he's giving you and then you have to adjust to it.
Okay, I got to be the beta handman.
So it's three steps. If you really want to be okay the next time you want to do the embrace,
yes,
which is the most advanced of them all,
yes,
there's the commitment. So that's when your hands do this and your thumbs are locked in.
Okay.
So y'all do it.
Yeah.
Bert and Mikey, do the commitment part. That's the first step.
So they're there clasping. It
is. That's the commitment, right?
Clasp.
Now you bring it in, okay?
Boom. Shoulder to shoulder.
Right. Now on the come out. When you're coming out of that, you're going to slide your hands across each other's. Now this is important. When you grip here...
Yes.
Yeah, as if you're thumb wrestling. Exactly. Now, on the grip, this is where a lot of the time white men get lazy and you just let it go.
And it just kind of goes.
When you grip.
It's not over.
It's not over. The grip, you want to let go of the grip as if you don't actually want to let go of the grip.
Oh.
It's an art to it.
I've never got that one.
So that's what I'm saying.
Can you write this down?
He's telling you right now. Listen back.
You grip, and then once you kind of tighten on the grip to let go, that's it. It's over.
Okay.
It's just
can
three
we try
steps.
One more time?
Sure. It's just, yeah, okay. Y'all got it.
Yeah.
Commitment.
Clasp.
Bring it in.
Shoulder
slide,
shoulder.
Grip. Okay, that's okay.
Okay. Another jumping rope.
A little too much commitment. But that's it. Yeah, that's it.
Hey, The Bert Show.
This mom had a savage move on her kids when it came to their Easter egg hunt. And while I commend her creativity, people came after her in the comments.
On the internet?
On the internet.
Came after her?
Yes.
Wow.
I know. And especially parent-on-parent crime. It happens a lot on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
So the modern fox underscore, she wrote in the caption, savage Easter egg fillers. The bunny ran out of candy and toys. Shrug emoji. And she has these eggs, plastic eggs. And think of it like a fortune cookie. And you open it up and you see that printed paper and something's written on it. That's what she's doing. She's not putting candy in there. She's not putting toys in there. She has written something down and she's folding it up and putting it in the eggs, right? And so as you read some of these things that she's putting, because she's holding it up to the camera, the first one says, clean without fighting, and this will be full next year. And the next one here, the next one says, nothing in here, stop lying. She fills another egg. Nothing in here. Stop hitting. Then the last one should have been nicer to your brother. Now, for context, she did this, but she also filled up other eggs with some toys and some candy and some other things. So she's like, it wasn't a full Easter egg hunt of just, you know, like mom, you know, yelling at the kids. And I was like, that's actually kind of clever or whatever, right?
I never had the guts to be that mean in reality.
Yeah.
Like, I'd have the thought of doing that, and then I would chuckle about it, but never really execute.
No follow through.
Yeah.
Yeah, there would be no follow. You're like, yeah, that's a great. But as a, now experiencing parenthood, when you tell your kid the same thing over and over and over and over and over, and they just don't listen, drastic times call for drastic measures. And this is what this mom's doing here. And, you know, she actually was kind of doing it in good fun, but people took this very seriously.
Wow.
Some of the comments. This is really resentful parenting. Go do something nice for yourself so you can handle kids being kids.
Ooh.
Next one. Nah, I'm all about old school parenting, but this is a crappy mom. Next, we did one with our neighbors a few years ago and they filled a good portion with broccoli. And she was like, I need to remember that. Somebody posted therapy in 20 years. So what you're telling me is your mom didn't put effort into parenting and discipline. Her idea was to be passive aggressive and breed resentment regarding holidays. Well, okay, that explains a lot about what brings you in today.
It's true though, man. It's very true.
Dude, it goes on. Dang, poor parenting followed up by crappy parenting and destroying a holiday tradition. Girl, get a grip. They're children. Their brains are physiologically incapable of behaving like adults. I can promise you, they will remember you being so full of spite though.
Damn.
I was just like, what?
I mean, she has some balance in there, so I don't see why people are so upset.
There's one I considered for years and years and years, and looking back at it, I should have done it. But when I look at parenting and I think of like somewhat mean things. And I think about my dad and I'm like, I don't want to be that guy. But my son was having the hardest time thanking people. Mm. I mean, and he was getting to an age where, okay, now you're just a D-bag, right? I've reminded you too many times. So we went to the movies one time. I got the ticket and we're walking in and he didn't say thank you. And it happened a couple of times. What I wish I had done is just turned around and just got everybody back in the car and that would have been it. And he would have been, whoa, why are we going to go? Because you didn't say thank you again. I thought about doing that time and time again, but never executed it. I wish I would have.
But they're going through like calling this like passive aggressive BS. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't really see anything passive about this.
It's not aggressive. I still remember when I was probably 11-ish or so, and I wanted a Sega so bad, and I forgot who it was. I think it was my grandmother, was to teach me a lesson. She got me the Sega, but in the box, it was closed. So when I opened it thinking it was a Sega, it was actually closed in a Sega Genesis box. And I was so angry. Like, I was so angry that it ruined Christmas for me. And the entire day, I had an attitude. And then at the end of the day, they ended up bringing me the Sega, but saying, see how you spent your day with that attitude, and it was all for nothing. And I never forgot that lesson.
Oh, see?
Always remembered it.
Dang it. Next time I take Hayden to the movies and he doesn't think, it's never too late.
Even when he's 22?
Even when he's 22. It's never too late, man. It's the Burt Show.
Hey, the Burt Show.